The opinions expressed in the following podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide education and entertainment about the financial industry and the stock market. Enjoy.
On this episode of Pennies Going In Raw, we welcome back a fan favorite who doesn't need an introduction, Mr. Zach Morris.
You find out life's this game of pennies.
Oh, you guys know we only have a 40% runner. Hello? 40% right is a fucking killing.
We've been compliant for too long. It's time we go to war.
I don't have a Roth.
Q knows so much about the market that his brain doesn't have enough room for grammar.
Hey, who told me about IVAX? It's going up a shit ton now.
Rob, 4%, baby.
No way.
4%.
You asked the exact same question with two words different.
It's like, fuck, man, I just got dick whipped for like 20%, and now that f***er's up like 50.
I bet Warren Buffett never did that.
I'm just making this voice memo to call out unusual whales to a fight.
The pennies we need are everywhere around us.
Pennies.
Going in raw.
Featuring Dan, Deity of Dips,
and Hugh Henny.
Produced by Vinny
and Christian.
Let's go, baby.
Welcome back to another episode of Pennies Going In Raw. Today is Wednesday, August the 4th, and today we have on everyone's favorite, the Master Furu, Mr. Zach Morris. How are you, man?
Holler, everyone. I'm doing great. How are you?
Just fantastic. Dude, it's been a while. We haven't had you on since, like, I feel like it was right after AMC with the Financial Revolution episode. You've had some good calls since then. Most recently, I think it was ALZN, another 100%er. You're still finding them.
Yeah, I've just been in this game for a little while now, and I just learned the patterns. That's all. Like, I simplified my trading too. I don't even do all the monkeying around that I used to do. Now I just kind of wait for the flushes, or scalp some large caps and be done instead of spending my time from 4 a.m. to like 4 p.m.
Yeah, you mentioned like whenever you first started, you were a 4 a.m. to 4 p.m. kind of guy. But now it seems like, even whenever we were staying at your house, you woke up one morning around 30 minutes after market open and go, "Hey, my phone's dead. Does anyone know what price Wish is at?"
Yeah, I honestly don't even care. Like, if I'm swinging something, I'm swinging with conviction. Like I said, now I'm all about working smart instead of working hard.
So you're mainly just the morning kind of guy, or if something gets hot, or just strictly mornings now, jet skis during the day?
Yeah, mornings and then jet skis during the day. I'm not trying to sound cocky or anything, but now I could make like 100, 200 thousand on a play, and honestly, like, it's all FU money. If you're making $1,000 a day, if you're making $10,000 a day, like, it's all FU money. So even if I make $50,000 a day, I'm happy as hell.
We kind of mentioned last time we went into your strategies but didn't go too in depth. You've mentioned kind of on all of your voice memos how you're playing these flushes in the morning. Can you kind of go over how you're finding these flushes, knowing which one to buy, and kind of what you mean by you're able to get the size you want, and then just being able to make these trades?
All right, so what I usually do is I like, to me what's important is strong news and volume, so, and range. So what I'll do is, back in the day, what I used to do, I used to get that FOMO pre-market news used to drop, and I used to be like one of the first to buy. And so, pre-market being so thin, it could be a gamble. You could be buying the top and then it dips, and then you panic sell at open because you see it dipping, and then it goes back up. So I just started following the pattern. You'll notice that every morning there's this one big flush, or sometimes multiple stocks that were running pre-market. They'll flush that open because you got profit takers, and then you got panic sellers who are chasing pre-market. And then that's when you could size too, because it's like all you could eat, because everybody's panic selling, and you got all these profit takers. And then that's when I just go in and just go with size. And and I let them ride out for a little bit. Unless they spike, you know, hard right away, then, you know, I'll take profits because that means it's going to come back down.
On the last episode, we talked about the personality of stocks. On those morning flushes, are you like, do you know those stocks for the most part? Or is it like, hey, they have news, they have good volume, and I like this flush? Or do you know those stocks?
Okay, so once you pick up personalities of like, you know, a bunch of stocks, then you kind of understand then you have like a recipe. So, you know, for example, you'll Neuro, it was like a $4 million flow, you know, it got to like $50. You know, then you look for a stock similar pre-market that has, you know, around the same flow, maybe like, you know, same type of news, volume and all that stuff. So you could use that recipe from one stock to another stock that you might not know, but it, you know, has all the characteristics of other stocks that you know.
Gotcha.
If that makes
sense.
Yeah.
And do you have a stop loss on most of those, or are you just getting, or is it just?
I don't do, I'm too heavy, yeah, to be doing stop losses. When I do use stop losses is, you know, when the stock is going up and, you know, and that's what people should be doing. Like, you know, I got a lot of pushback because HTI, yes, I was calling $10. I thought it would go over $10 because, you know, HT is a real company and we were reopening. And it did hit $7.94. So, you know, $2 away from $10. But what you guys should be doing is when a stock is going up like that, just keep moving your stop loss up to protect your profits. That's when I use stop losses, is to protect profits. I don't use it when stuff is dumping, because if I have a stop loss, it's going to make the stock crash even more.
That's such, I mean, that's just a really nice thing to do.
Well, like I said, I know how to make money. I could make money, you know. You see all these bullshit paid people try to come at me all the time, and it's like, okay, dude, you want to do like me? Do without posting on Twitter, because I could make money without posting shit. You know, yeah. That's why I like to keep my word too with you know, my plays. Is, you know, like with AHT, yeah, I held, but because that's what I said I was going to do. You know, I'm not going to tell people one thing and then do the opposite. But that everybody should be managing their risk. You know, the Twitter ones, you know, I hold with everybody. But, you know, I do place stuff on the side where I make my money too. So, like, you know, I might be taking a loss on AHT or something else, but I'm making money by myself with other things. So that's why you guys got to learn how to trade everything.
Yeah, whenever you're going about, like, learning to trade everything, obviously doing it in smaller size helps, but what else would you recommend for people? Like, obviously during the slower months, like right now would probably be a good month to try your, you know, get your feet wet in large caps, but what are like some tips you can give to people that are used to just being the following the leader on Twitter, and now it's, you know, it's time to kind of fend for yourself and learn other trades?
Well, I strongly suggest, signing up for Benzinga if you don't have it, or if you have Thinkorswim, if you can go in chat rooms on there, and there's a Benzinga chat room, and there's Benzinga Charlie who speaks the news. That's what I use. I just listen to Benzinga Charlie and just listen to him and watch how stuff moves after certain news comes out. And, you know, that's how I learned. And the good thing about large caps and mid caps, they're always going. You know, there's always something to play there. So if the small caps market is slow, then you could go to large cap. So my advice is, you know, I usually just play news or, you know, the morning gappers and things like that. Or like, you know, if, let's say I'm listening to Benzinga Charlie, bad news comes out on Nvidia. If I see a good entry, I'll short it. If it's down a lot already, then I will probably just play the bounce and maybe reshort it. So you just gotta watch them and just learn their personalities. That's what I did. You know, I did in the beginning when I started messing with them, I did make money and then I did lose. And then, you know, I just kind of stepped back and I watched and learned more. And, you know, AJ Awesome Calls helped me a lot. And so did Nate from Investor Live. You know, those are two great traders, and you know, they have different styles too. And what I did was, you know, I've always paid attention to the great traders and I took what made them great. And you know, a great deal of them, they don't like to hold like I do, and they don't size like I do, and that's fine, that's just their style. you know, that's why I took whatever makes them great and I put my own style to it.
Yeah, I was thought that was super impressive just last week. I think it was Tuesday when the market was tanking, or not tanking, but it just had that massive dip and it recovered the rest of the week so well. But you were quick to make six figures on a couple of shorts on different stocks, almost like $800,000, if I remember correctly. Were you just ready for the market to be bad, or how do you plan out those mornings where you're so quick to adapt and just go straight to shorting?
Well, I could just, like, you know, Baba's been getting shitted on, and, you know, just it seemed like I had more room to go down. It's like I said, it's just through experience, time and experience. And, you know, guys, just if you're playing something new, like large caps, just play with paper money. There's always going to be money to be made. If you're using real money to learn, you're not going to have real money to play with by the time you're done learning, and you're just going to get depressed, and, you know, it's not going to work out. Just play with paper money. You have all the time in the world. Unless you're like 90.
No, I'm happy that you mentioned that, because we see a lot of the time, I mean, all the time, like, hey, how much do I need to quit my job? For that kind of question, you know, what do you usually tell people? That
have all your shit paid off. You know, I people give me shit because I preach to buy everything in cash and to pay everything off. We are traders. We are gamblers. This, you know, anything can happen. You know, you could blow up your account. I could blow up my account. I could get stupid on a trade. I could blow up my account. And then what? And guess what? And I'll be fine because I paid all my shit off. You know, I just got to worry about, like, taxes and things like that. So that's why I think it's important for people to, you know, pay their things off. And, you know, we're, like I said, we're gamblers. And the more you know, the less of a gamble it is.
How do you handle, like, with your big ass gains, taxes? Like, if you, like, on your big AMC?
Oh, I have a good lawyer and accountant too. So, you know, they help me out. I'm not worried about that. You know, I don't care if I pay like 40%, whatever. I don't give a shit, because I wouldn't have this money without it. So, you know, at the end, it's still all FU money. Even if I keep, you know, 70%, it's still a great deal of money.
It's a great problem to have. I mean, it's at the end of the day, even if you only kept 10%, it would still be insane. Yeah. Yeah, so I definitely get that. So with people that have under $25,000 accounts, do you think that it's smart to play those large caps, or should they? What do you think?
No. They should focus more on, like, stocks, five and under. They give you, like, short term gains. You know, the large caps is better for large accounts, you know, unless you're playing options. But options are just gambling to me. And, yeah. You know, once they expire, you're done. And I don't know. I don't think options are great for newbies. But I know there's a great deal of traders that, you know, that are great with them. But
going back to the, like, your morning flush plays, and even the big morning news ones, where's the point where you do take losses? I know you said you don't really mess with the stop loss too much, but at what point do you say do you go into each trade saying, okay, I can lose this much, or does it just, okay, this clearly isn't going the way I wanted it to, I'm out?
I don't really care about the stop loss. I mean, about the losses, like, you know, if it works, that's amazing. If it doesn't, a part of the game, on to the next. You know, some of them have beautiful news. You know, they have a low float and they still turn to shit. You know, that's just part of the game. Because if you think like that, if you let one stock change your, like, you know, learn from your mistakes, of course, learn from your mistakes. But if it's something that you have conviction in all the time and it's the right strategy, it's okay to lose some time. You know, don't let your last trade affect your next trade.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely makes sense. Is there anything outside of the market that you feel that you do that really helps with the market? Like,
yeah, I keep toxic people out of my life. You know, that's why, like, you know, I block so easily on Twitter. It's my feed. I don't want to see any of that bullshit. If you're a hater or if you're talking shit on my stock, fuck off. I don't need to see that shit. It's my life. Life is short. I'm going to keep doing me. I don't need to see any of that shit. I like positivity.
Yeah. Yeah. So you just keep that positivity. And I know that, like, you know, as your friend, you know, you enjoy, you know, motor vehicles and, you know, things like that.
Does that kind of help you clear your mind, or is it just for fun and you just love doing it?
I'm a Romanian immigrant. I came here with my parents. My dad was a cab driver. My mom was a hairstylist. We lived in New York. They sent me to Catholic school, to try to do better for me. Kids bullied me, whatever. Another reason I'm such a nice guy is because I got bullied when I was
kids bullied you? You were massive, dude.
I know, but kids bullied me because my dad drove a cab. I used to, sometimes I was embarrassed and I used to make him drop me off a block away. It just sucked. But anyway, I just, thanks to that, it's what made me is like, I promised myself I would never be like that. And that's why I love everybody. And I don't like, I'll joke around with you guys. I'll bully you guys online, but I'm just messing around. I love everyone.
Yeah. No, I think like, so, the way, so even, awesome. Even like you can tell hanging out with you now that you really do like appreciate like where you came from. I mean, you'll tip like an Uber driver that someone else is already tipping like another $40 as a like, hey.
Oh yeah, dude. You see, whenever we go out, I have a few grand on me, and I make sure by the time we get back, like it's all gone. I just hand it out. I see homeless people, I give money. I tip. I like tipping a lot of. I just love. I get that from my parents too. My dad. We didn't have a lot of money, and my dad was one of the most generous people I knew. Like they were just always. They were always big tippers. So I learned that from them too. And so going back to that story too, like we came here with nothing. Had nothing. They sent me to private school. I was around all these rich kids. I used to see them all have nice things. So that's kind of like a reason I buy a lot of nice stuff now. Now I'm able to have it too. And yeah, I enjoy it. But in the end, it's really about family and your close friends. All this stuff is just stuff. When you die, what are you going to do with this stuff? Nothing. So, just enjoy it. And it's nice to treat yourself. But, love your family, love your friends.
Does Charlie live the best life of the Morris house?
That's the goal, we're working on having a kid too. So Charlie could have a little brother.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Thanks. That is so cool. That is so awesome.
And the Charlie Twitter is not me. It's just like a follower. And, he's never disrespected me or disrespected Charlie. So that's why I was cool with it. And, I love what he does with the Charlie page. And so does Cart Morris, too. They're best buddies. So I really like those guys.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's to a point where your dog and your golf cart have their own Twitter accounts.
I think my watch even has one.
Which one?
That one of those Frank Millers, whatever they're called.
Dude, that's speaking on that, is it weird for you growing up? Yeah, you grew up, poor, middle class, and then
is the word you're looking for.
Yeah. Well, you grew up middle class. So is it weird for you now to have, now you showed your face, which was huge. You get like more likes than most of the Kardashians do on their Twitters by showing your face. And so is that weird for you, being like this popular? Like, you go to, 2 weeks ago, you went to one of your grocery stores and someone recognized your car.
Yeah.
They didn't recognize it. So is that weird for you?
It's not weird. It still hasn't like hit me yet. To be honest with you, the more money I make, the more humble I am because, I appreciate people who work even more. And that's why that's why I'm educating now because with the whole alerts thing, I can't buy and sell for people. So there's always going to be a loser with that, with my alerts, unless it's something like Wish where everybody could be buying cheap if they're listening and, they're patient. But with these other ones, you got people coming in and chasing like when something's up 200% and then when it goes down, I'm the one. But, I just have too many followers and, with great power comes great responsibility. So that's why I switched to teaching and I like that it's really, working. People are, it's working for everyone, so I'm really happy about that. And I'm gonna
Professor
keep
Morris.
That.
You took a hard 180 from a Furu perspective because it really went from like all this guy does is get banger calls. No one knows how you get them. You weren't given DD. They were just bangers, and now it just went to straight education.
And I keep the education simple too. You don't see me like, hey guys, the MACD and the EMA and SMA and all that shit. There's people that don't have time. They're just you know, they're working. They don't got fucking time to be doing all that. So I just keep it like real simple, and it works. It doesn't have to be that complicated.
Yeah, no, I mean, because if you want to learn EMAs and MACDs, you can watch like long ass boring YouTube videos. But if you
and I don't even use those. I use VWAP maybe, you know.
Yeah, and I think kind of getting back to what we were talking about. I mean, last episode you talked about how you mainly use level two, and we were talking before, and you said you kind of stopped doing that as much. Can you kind of go over that, how that phased out, and what you kind of replaced it with?
So with level two, what I usually watch level two is for soaking, like, you know, for the morning plays, you could watch like, you know, that flush, and you could just see it getting soaked up in level two. Like I said, I kind of taught myself, how to trade just by watching, level two and stuff. So I'm not the best teacher because I can't really explain what I see. You know, I'm just used to seeing it all. Just through time and experience.
Kind of also reverting back to the first interview we had with you, where you said that you also mentioned, because that seems like another strategy refinement. And you also mentioned, like, right when you were on the brink of losing everything down to like that $800 mark, you had to change up your strategy one more time that kind of led it to being that 30,000 at the end of the week, I believe. What was that refinement? Because that must have been a hell of one.
We just focused on what was working at the time. So what was working at the time? It was like low floaters that haven't started moving yet pre-market. So I would just look for something with a low float that had good news, and I would just buy that open, and then it would just start rocketing up. And that's what worked at the time. Right now, what's working is the flush. So till that stops working, then we look for something else. But the flush has been around forever, and it always works. There's always a dump at open.
Okay, cool. I think that's a really good answer. The fact that you weren't really refining, you were just adding more tools to your tool belt, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always learning to be better. Like I said, I like to work smart. I don't like to work hard.
Who is the biggest impact inside your trading career thus far? I know you mentioned, like, you know, AJ Traders and Nate from Investors Live, but is there anyone that you could, that everyone can kind of contribute, but for newer traders, is that who they should be paying attention to, or who do you think is just a really great educator?
AJ and Nate are really good educators. My friend Vegas Trades and Jim from I Love Stocks, they're really great educators too. I learned a lot. Vegas helped me hold stuff longer when I was when I restarted that account from 800. And also, you know, my wife for. Like, and I remember when I lost it all and I came downstairs and I'm like, shit, we're fucked. She's like, shut the fuck up. Go back upstairs.
She's the brains behind the operation.
Because if she would have freaked out with me, then, you know, then I would have gave up and we would have like, you know, just went even more downhill. But she believed in me. And then, you know, here I am.
That's so cool.
Well, I think a part everyone wants to hear about, you've kind of spearheaded a movement with Wish, and someone, you know, there's even people that have Wish to the Moon signs on their car dealership.
Oh, yeah. I actually found out which dealership it was, and I called them up and I left them a message. And I was like, wish to the moon.
They're going to love that. That's going to be the best voice memo they've had. But. Yeah. You know, how did you, I know you mentioned it being undervalued, you know, it just seems obvious, but how exactly did you come across it and what makes you so bullish on it? I mean, you truly are all in.
I was looking at it when it IPO'd. I think I scalped it a little bit too. And then I kind of forgot about it. And then I saw it drop like below $10 and I was like, what? And then I started looking into it more and I was like, this does not belong where it's at right now. Like, you know, I love deals. Like, this is a steal right now. This is a steal. I'm telling you, this will, in my opinion, it's going to be over $100 one day, maybe sooner than later. And look at that, and they keep adding bomb ass management. We got more employees from Google. Even the CEO, he used to be an engineer for Google. You know, the lady from Square. Like, come on, guys. Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
So what's the next thing that you want to see? You want to see like a really great earnings report, or you just want to see like
The earnings? Yeah, sure. I would love to see a great earnings report, but I just want to see I want to get the nuggets that, you know, it's still. they're reinvesting in their business, they're growing. I just want to get nuggets from that ER. And if the ER doesn't turn out to be well in the dips, that's when, I'll probably double down or something. But like I said, the stock's just going to keep growing. Right now, we're just going through that BS, like all these other stocks did, like Etsy, Snap, all them. But it's going to moon.
Snap, I actually remember playing Snap on their IPO day. It was at $18 a share. And it hit 70 or something. I mean, it's just insane the way that some of these work. It's almost like they all go. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, that's why like Wish I think is a great long term. Even Lots is dirt cheap right now. I think that's a good long term, once the car market turns around. Right now what's hurting Lots is there's not really any cars out there. Even used cars are getting bought up like crazy. So they probably don't have the inventory they need. And then Hims, I think that's a good long term one too. They just have that post-SPAC heaviness to them.
Yeah, it's like ones that you – so it seems like ones that you kind of hear about a lot. Even when it goes back to some of your calls that go up to your price target and beyond, like Fubo, do you ever see a point of re-entering? Now it's sitting around that 25 mark.
Well, I did. Remember, I thought it was going to go to 100 and then, ended up going down. So now, I'm just, just focusing with the cheap, with the bottom plays. I'm not double dipping. Unless it's a day trade, it works better that way. And that way nobody gets screwed, and if I see, I know I said Wish is going to be my last one. If I do see a play where I guarantee that we can all make money and there will be no losers in it, then yeah, I'll call it. But right now, to me, Wish is the one, where we could all make a great deal of money.
Yeah, I mean, no one can say anything because it's not a play that moves super thin and, it kind of stays inside that range. So as long as you're not buying the top and panic selling the bottom, and at that point, you should probably stop trading.
Well, once we get over 15 and, 15 becomes support, then, we'll be good. Like I said, I believe we should at least be at 20 bucks. At 20 bucks would be a steal too.
Yeah, well, that's what we talked about on Sunday's episode, is that 15 is really the line in the sand. And, it's tested that area three times. So, hypothetically, the next time, if it does catch volume around that area, it should break through. And that's where, as you said, with the management team that they're adding, with a good earnings report or something like that, we were talking about comparing it to OSTK, Overstock. When we're from $250 to $140 a share in 2 months.
I know, man. I'm salty. I didn't hold on to that one, and I'm salty I didn't hold on to Penn when we had that crash.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's just patience, because it doesn't take much once it gets moving. So
exactly. And congratulations on your iHeart deal, guys. I'm really proud of you guys. It's amazing to see everyone grow. You guys, Tommy, PJ, Gary, and everyone else.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely crazy to see how far everything, between all of FinTwit's coming a year from it, just having no outside presence to being on the new, CEOs mentioning us on interviews, although that did make people think you were in cahoots with the CEO of AHT.
Everyone's like, oh, Zach had insider information. Guys, if I had insider information, I would have told everybody to sell before that reverse split. I wouldn't fucking have you guys hold it so I could take all the blame and screw you guys.
I did see that you unfollowed him on Twitter. AHT Rob, is there a little beef going on there? You pissed at him?
No, I don't think I unfollowed him. I think I'm still following him. I don't really hold grudges. I don't think the story is done yet with AHT. This whole new lockdown bullshit is hurting it definitely. All these mandates, because everybody's fearing that we're gonna have another lockdown.
What do you think the potential of another lockdown or another COVID craze coming is? I mean, you're seeing all the Delta stuff around and
I don't think the, I don't know. I've had it. All I did was lose taste and smell. I'm hearing that it's more contagious, but it's not as bad. I don't know what they're going to do. I hope we don't get lockdowns because I think people are going to go nuts. They're not going to be happy.
Do you have a trading strategy? If that does happen, are you going to, you know, put some money into some areas, or are you just going to wait and see what happens?
Well, if the lockdown happens, I would go like, you know, you go long on like ZM and Piton, like stay at home plays.
Yeah.
Then I would also keep money, you know, to just buy, you know, in case we get a crash. I would just keep money ready to, you know, just buy that huge dip. Wish I would keep, because Wish will do good.
E-commerce. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's going to do well. So, yeah, I'll just be ready for a dip and then just go long on stay at home plays.
Okay. Makes it, I mean, yeah.
I think what food delivery plays were going nuts. Yeah. So, you know, keep those type of plays I would keep an eye on as well. Remember WTRH, how far we took that? Then we took it from like 30 cents $5, or it went. Yeah. That was another one of our big plays.
Dude, yeah, we were out by like $2 and we were like, dude, what a great play. And then just kept going. That one was like the one where we were like, dude. Yeah, that one for me really changed my account, WTRH. That really changed my account.
I love how there's always those ones that are just so fond to remember just because of how they changed your account. Like, because like, oh, I was an idiot, so I had 80% of my account in it. And guess what? It happened to do exactly what we thought it would.
Yeah.
I guess kind of going into some other things is, you know, very recently you did do a face reveal. It was such an allure, such a mystery for so long. After 2 years, you know, what kind of made you finally do it?
Well, the reason it was fun, you know, not showing my face, and, you know, because my wife didn't know, you know, because I'm married and my wife didn't want me doing it too. And then, you know, I was just getting harassed a lot. People thought they had one up all over me because they were posting my pictures and info. And, you know, I was just like, screw you guys. Here's my stuff. You got nothing on me. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely made FinTwit come to a halt that Sunday, I think. And how do you feel after doing it? You feel better?
Oh, I feel amazing. Yeah, I could care less about these idiots. No successful person is going to go online and troll somebody. You know, there is just losers who don't have anything going for them. They don't have dreams and nothing will ever come because of them, because of that reason. And they are their own enemies and they look to take it out on other people who are successful. And those people do not matter. They're garbage.
Yeah, dude, we talked about that tweet, and that tweet got me more high school fame than any of my tweets. I mean, I had people from
than any of his high school football highlights
or his Spanish.
I'm bilingual, baby. I can't. Senor Rivera. Right? I think he gave me a C on that project. I can't believe it. You know, I thought I was really knocking shit out of the park. I had people from high school DM me like, wow, like this kid looks exactly like you with Mr. Zach Morris. I was like, yeah, like that's my friend. And they're like, no. I'm like, yeah, no, like that's my boy. They're like, dude, he wouldn't hang out with you. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, why does everybody love Zach Morris so much? Like, I'm a cool dude too, you know? Oh, shit. Dave.
What was your biggest, like, you know, obviously we see most of just all these crazy gains and stuff, and you do post losses on occasion. What is some like mistake you've made recently as a, you know, as an experienced trader where you're like, damn, that was fucking stupid. I lost a lot on that.
I know. Well, sometimes like, you know, I don't like double dip. Like I'll look, don't fight the trend, you know, forget about double, because I like playing channels a lot. Just don't fight the trend. If a stock has good news and it's going up, then don't try to short it. Just, you know, ride it till it says something differently. Same thing with shorts. You know, if you're shorting something, you know, don't fight the trend. If it's going to just be ugly all day, you know, just don't try to keep finding the bottom.
Do you ever swing a short, like have conviction on a short, kind of like you do a swing? Like, this is just stupidly undervalued?
No. You know, with large caps, I've seen it too many times where, you know, like, for instance, Square, they purchased another company yesterday. It tanked pre-market at 237. So imagine people were chasing. So shorts chase dips like longs chase rips, you know? So you have, imagine you got people chasing Square, shorting it at 237, and then it went to like 280, I believe, the same day. So, you know, that's where you got to be careful.
Yeah. So how much of that, you know, that mindset of shorts chase dips goes into some of these plays that you're playing? Like, are you ever like, I got these shorts? Or is it just like, you're like, or do you purely just think of it like, hey, this is a flush, I'm playing this flush for a bounce back? Or like I said, is it one of those things where, cause I mean, you see some of those guys.
Like how much of other people's thoughts are you taking into your plays?
Oh, I don't even other people's thoughts.
How they're gonna play it? Yeah.
Well, I used to do that all the time. Like, I used to just like, you know, you'll learn. Like I tell everyone, you know, don't hate on people on Twitter. You know, use them for your own advantage. Don't get blocked because you'll know that you'll start learning how everybody trades, and you'll be in their trades before them a lot of times. You know, that's one of the things I used to do. You know, as I was developing, I got tired of chasing people's shit, and I just kind of knew how everybody would play. So if like there was a new theme, well, I was like, oh, I know what this person's going to go for. So I'd be in there before them and then be like, all right, do all the work, bud. Thanks.
That's so cool.
All right. Well, another question we have is, what's it like having a celebrity dog? I've seen the way you treat it, and you treat it as if you were pampering a celebrity. But, you know, what does having a celebrity dog entail aside from just, you know, owning a regular dog?
When we're out in public, everybody's trying to get his paw signature, taking pictures of him. He's got bitches chasing him all the time.
Does he do well with flash photography, or is that kind of...
Yeah, he's good. You see him, he likes, he wears his sunglasses too. He thinks he's real cool with those, and he is. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Does he comb his own beard, or is that, or does he have someone that does that? Because I mean, that's pretty, you know, that's a pretty nice.
I usually trim it sometimes, but I like when he looks raggedy. You know, it kind of keeps him in check. I don't want him thinking he's too like uppity. So I like to make him look a little raggedy.
Yeah, you know I'm looking like super preppy. It looks like he's kind of a stoner at this point.
Yeah, and then he'll take it to his head, and you know, I don't want his personality to change.
Yeah. He can't know, you know, he can't know too much about, you know, about what your worth is, because then, you know, he'll start to start to be a, you know, the bigger man on campus.
Speaking here he is, but yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of big men on campus, we're gonna be at Reno September 8th. Are you?
I sure am.
Oh, wow. See, all your favorite foos in the same spot. Make sure to you guys pull up to that. It'll be a great time. That's September 8th. We'll have more details coming out about that in a little bit.
Yeah. No, that's going to be great. The bar has like 600 people capacity, and they're like, yeah, like, I don't know if we'll be able to like handle you guys. And I'm like, what? They're like, oh yeah, we follow you guys on Twitter. Like, there's gonna be a lot of people. And I was like, you can't handle us inside a 600 capacity bar. It's like a warehouse. But no, I mean, Reno is gonna be a really fun time. Really looking forward to that. You know, and I think the biggest thing is that, like, you know, usually when we go out and meet people, it's always like, hey, like, we're here for this event. This event is purely for, you know, the students at the University of Reno
and y'all
and FinTwit. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, circling back, because last time that you came, I mean, it's been you've gained like 200,000 followers since last time that you came on.
And it's not great. Okay. The more followers, you know, the more newbies I got following me. I honestly, if you got a good thing going on, don't try to, you know, get so many followers and things like that, because it could like ruin your game. You know, it's just like, you're just taking more responsibility. I mean, I love it. I love helping people out. You know, I'm used to it. It used to be a little stressful, but you know, I don't, I'm over. It's cool. I love helping you guys.
I remembered my question, and perfect transition. You're talking about all these followers. There's got to be some big time celebs in there. Who are the biggest celebrity followers of Mr. Zach Morris?
Well, let's see. Last month, my biggest follower was Trey Songz.
Wow. Mr. Yeah. Steal Your Girl, Trey Songz?
Yeah.
No, him? I love that song.
Yeah. Riff Raff, you know, a bunch of those rappers that I post, they follow me, you know, so that's pretty cool. Like, you know.
Key Glock.
Key Glock. Yeah, I love Key Glock, too. Look at their face. Shout out to Key Glock. You know, it's cool. People that I'm fans of, they're my fans too. So, you know, it's exciting. I love it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's so super cool. Like, I was shooting DMs with Grayson Allen and, like, other basketball players.
Me too. Yeah, he's cool. I like Grayson.
Yeah, dude, him in college, a monster. If you watched his college highlights, he was a problem. Like, he was an issue. And by issue, I mean, like, you'd be worrying about your knees being taken out. I'm just playing, Grayson. But seriously, you were a dirty guy. But I guess that's about all I had, Hugh, unless you have anything else before we round this out.
No, I mean, you know, I feel like we always get so much out of it. I mean, I don't, it's funny, Zach, because every time that we're trying to do these titles for these episodes, it's always like, what the hell do we like title this? Because we go from mindset to, you know, what you're playing right now to longevity. So I just think that, you know, it's so cool. Because we kind of cover so much and just how open you are to giving, you know, everybody knowledge. You know what I mean? Like I remember when we first started out, it was like $10,000 to learn like the same thing that we're talking about on this podcast, you know, and like $10,000 is a lot of fucking money. So I just think it's so cool how you educate, you know, how you just, you know, it's
yeah, taking the time out of your day when you clearly don't have to.
Yeah.
It is super appreciated by us and everyone that listens.
Well, you know, you guys too. You know, I like I said, we're all a big community, and you know, the whole goal of FinTwit is for everyone to become financially independent. And it, you know, I believe that we can all do that together and responsibly.
Hell yeah, responsibly. For sure. All right, man. Well, thank you, and I hope you have a great rest of your trading day.
All right, thanks, man. Love you guys, and congratulations.
All right, thanks, man.
Thanks, bro.
Much love.